I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Greetings and welcome to Hello Pine Knob, the official podcast for the Pine Knob Music Theater in Independence Township, Michigan. I'm your host, Gary Graff, back for a third season of documenting everything that goes on in one of the country's oldest and busiest amphitheaters. The season is speeding by, and July is turning into August with a couple of notable shows from some of our favorite rockers. Creed is in the midst of its first concert tour in 12 years, which, among other things, is marking the 25th anniversary of its multi-platinum sophomore album, Human Clay. Creed brings its new tour to Pine Knob for a sold-out show on Wednesday, July 31st. The group has played there five times before, the last in August of 2009. Playing there is a big deal for guitarist Mark Tremonti, who was born in Detroit and raised in Grosse Pointe for most of his childhood before his family moved to Chicago. We spoke to him about the experience.
It wasn't a place when I went to a lot when I was a kid, but it was something you always heard about. You know, you always heard it on the radio, and it was only the biggest of the, you know, the Bob Segers and stuff played at Pine Knob, you know. So it's great to go to your hometown and play the big venue.
Even though the band hasn't played together for a long time, Creed's fame has only grown over the years, thanks to continuing radio play and songs being used by sports teams. Most recently, its hit Higher was part of a Paramount Plus TV ad for this year's Super Bowl. Tremonti tells us all of that has been an organic process rather than orchestrated in any way by the band.
We knew that it was going to take a lot of setup time. And as we were setting it up, all of a sudden pop culture hits and you have the Rangers playing Creed songs, and you have the Vikings playing Creed songs, you have the Super Bowl commercial, you have all this stuff that you could have never planned. And it's funny from the outside in, people are like, wow, you guys are absolute geniuses for orchestrating this plot to make you to get these tickets sold. But it had nothing other than serendipitous luck that all happened around us planning this tour. So we got blessed with all the things that kind of happened at the same time.
Tremonti recalls that Higher, which was the first single from Human Clay, as well as Creed's first top 10 hit and a number one on the mainstream and alternative rock charts, was the song that gave the band confidence that the success of its first album, My Own Prison, was no fluke.
We were listening to the mix, the playback of Higher. I think that's when we were like, all right, we're definitely onto something here. And when and the whole time we had the first record going on, everybody's like, oh, you're going to be a one hit wonder. Oh, you're going to have a sophomore slump on your second record. Every step of the way, everybody doubts you. But when we came out with Higher and it was universally accepted and played so much, it was a big moment for us.
Tremonti says he's also learned that Creed's music has marked time for a great deal of the band's audience, which also has passed the music along to younger siblings and children.
I think some of these Creed songs, whether you like them or not, you are familiar with them. And when you hear them live, you're like, wow, brings you back, or you get to relive those younger years or whatever it was. And I think people really enjoy it. And I see a lot of grown people crying, when we played those cruises, you see people with tears in their eyes when we play some of these songs, and and then when you talk to folks, they're like, I grew up, my father was a fan of your band, or my mother was a fan of your band, and went to a concert with them when I was a child. And now, like, to see this, and now my parents might have passed on or something. And it's an emotional thing for people.
Tremonti is circumspect on whether the reunion will yield some new Creed music, however.
We've always said once we get on this tour, I'm sure we're going to have a lot of time, a lot of downtime to fiddle around with ideas. We do a lot of writing at soundcheck. I always will hear a song and I'll be like, well, that sounds like a Creed song. And I'll kind of park it.
Once again, that's Creed with Three Doors Down and Finger 11 at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, July 31st at Pine Knob. If you couldn't get tickets to that show, Creed will be back on Wednesday, November 20th to play at Little Caesars Arena. Another rocker, the Red Rocker, in fact, follows Creed when Sammy Hagar brings his Best of All Worlds tour to Pine Knob on Friday, August 2nd. Hagar's a regular visitor to the Knob. He was there just last summer, in fact. And 2 months later, he launched his Red Rocker lager beer brand with a Detroit area brewery. Sammy tells us he appreciates the fervor of his following here in the Motor City, too.
Hey, I just love Detroit. I don't know what happened to me in Detroit, but we hit it together. That show was the first show to sell out. It sold out like in 2 days, gone, goodbye, you know, 15-6 or whatever it is, you know. And I just go, man, I've always struggled to sell that venue out. You know, we always do 10 to 12 to 14, but I don't know what happened.
This year, Hagar's show is mostly a tribute to Van Halen, a band he was part of from 1985 to 1996, and again from 2003 to 2005. He and bassist Michael Anthony have continued to play together in the band Chickenfoot and in Hagar's group The Circle. And this year they decided to add Chickenfoot guitarist Joe Satriani to the mix, along with The Circle drummer Jason Bonham, and create a show built around Van Halen material from Hagar's era and the David Lee Roth years, including some songs that haven't been played in a very long time.
Well, we're the only ones that can play at all, you know, of the original members. I mean, I guess Gary Cherone could go out and do that, but that wouldn't be like, you know, Mike and I doing it, you know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, it's the best of all worlds. Sure, it's the best you're going to get. I feel like Mike and I, we don't have to do it, but we do for the people. I feel like more than myself, it's not like I have to say, oh, I have to go out and sing those songs one more time. You know, I can sing those songs anytime I want in Cabo. I can walk up on stage and play, not all of them, but, you know, some of them with a friend. There's a guitar player somewhere in Cabo every night at the Cantina that could jump up and play four or five songs at least if I couldn't play them myself. But my point is that the fans, they put us in this position and they've been ignored. I mean, honestly, I'm sorry to say it, but, you know, Van Halen was never a fan-friendly band, except when I was in the early days, I guess we all were. But, you know, the later years, I don't know, this is the best we can serve the fans, I think.
Hagar adds that having Satriani in the group in place of the late Eddie Van Halen has proven to be a great move in honoring the music.
I wanted to go deep into the thing, and you just think about guys that could play like Eddie, that sound like Eddie, but they don't really know what Eddie was doing. Joe reads, writes, teaches music. He's a professor. He's a scholar. He's a very high-level musician. And so every time I ever worked with Joe on Chickenfoot and all that, I knew that he knows what he's playing. He can play a shredding solo that just sounds like... hold it. I fucked up. I'm going, where did you fuck up? Wait a minute. How did you even hear it? You know, it's like you're playing so fast. It's another one note right there. And, like, he knows exactly what he's playing. So I figure rather than have some guy just imitating Eddie and playing his solos and his parts, have a guy that knows where Eddie was coming from to play those parts. And it makes it a little different. I'm telling you, I play... And Joe, you know, he don't play like Eddie. A lot of people say, why'd you pick Joe? He doesn't play like Eddie. I know. No, he doesn't. But he can, you know. And when he does, he knows what he's doing. And then he, you know, throws his little twist in there sometimes. Like he said, to give you an example, Eddie's certain solos are just iconic. You know what I mean? There's just certain notes to where it ends, you know, on a certain note or it starts on a certain note. Joe's got all that down. He's not skipping over any of that shit. And then when Eddie would be stretching out, Joe starts stretching out off of Eddie's theme. So it still sounds and feels like Eddie, but really you listen and go, oh, but that's Joe. You know what I mean? It's brilliant. So I think probably the smartest move I made if I was going to go out and do this was get Joe Satriani.
Hagar posted quite a bit of material from rehearsals and the early tour stops. And he tells us that he's confident the tour is living up to all his ambitions.
And it was a lot of work. I mean, more work than I'm used to. I'm usually, like, say, I go out and throw a party and wing it. And I just wanted this show to be perfect. And I want the people to, when they're finished, I've never had a set list this good in my life. How about that? ever in my whole fucking life, including in Van Halen. We have cherry-picked both eras. We have cherry-picked my solo career. We have cherry-picked Montrose, and we cherry-picked Chickenfoot. And it don't get any better. I mean, I'm sorry. This is the best set list in rock and roll right now, in my opinion, because of all the eras and the different bands, you know. When we finish it, I'm just sitting there. We all look at each other and go, wow, wait till the people hear this.
That's Sammy Hagar and the Best of All Worlds Tour, 7 p.m. Friday, August 2nd, with Loverboy opening at Pine Knob. Information about all Pine Knob concerts and other shows in the metro area can be found at 313presents.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Recently, we had a chance to catch up with Melissa Etheridge, who's not playing Pine Knob this summer, but has many memories about playing there, from opening for Bruce Hornsby to her own headlining shows.
When I was opening for Bruce Hornsby and Little Feet, who was I open for in America? It was just a place. It was one of the stops you would go, you know, when you play in Detroit, you play Pine Knob in the summer, and really lovely. It was always very, I remember being very rustic and beautiful and a lovely place to play. And then I remember it kind of becoming, wait, what is it? And all this other stuff. And now it's Pine Knob again, which I love.
Etheridge was most recently in town for the Michigan Central opening concert in June as part of a tribute to Bob Seger with Jelly Roll and Fantasia. It's a night she told us ranks among one of the highlights of her career.
Oh, that was amazing. It was really cool. The just meeting everybody. I was hanging out with Jelly Roll, and that's always fun. Just seeing everybody, but seeing the enthusiasm for the beautiful train station was really, really heartwarming. And I love seeing that about Detroit. I've come there for many years, and 30 years ago, I was like, God, someone needs to do something about all this.
Bob Seger, in fact, has a direct tie to Pine Knob for Etheridge.
Bob Seger, come on. I grew up in Leavenworth, Kansas. Bob Seger was a big, big part of my rock and roll, education. And he was also one of the first guys that ever saw me on tour. I remember I was opening for Bruce Hornsby. And when you're opening at a, I think it was like Pine Knob or something like that, when you're opening, you know, the crowd sort of fills up by the last song, you know? And so the first song I look out and, you know, there's some empty seats and stuff. And I look at it and I said, wait a minute, is that Bob Seger sitting there alone in one of these seats? And it was, and he came and listened to me, and he was very sweet. He's always been so supportive, but he's just, you know, one of my favorite rock stars, and Main Street was absolutely one of my favorite songs. And I was like, oh, please let me do it. Let me play and let me do it.
That's Melissa Etheridge. And finally, for this episode of Hello Pine Knob, we thought we'd step into the Wayback Machine to remember a particularly historic show. It was Talking Heads' final appearance in the metro area on August 11, 1983. The Speaking in Tongues tour that spawned the late Jonathan Demme's acclaimed concert film, Stop Making Sense. A new improved edition of the film came out last year for its 40th anniversary, and the four band members have been reuniting, not to perform, but to promote the movie at film festivals and on talk shows. Jerry Harrison, the group's keyboardist and guitarist, tells us that despite some well-documented interpersonal issues, he and his former bandmates have been happy to be together again.
I think that everyone has really, really enjoyed it. I mean, there's been this sense of, first of all, we hadn't all really been in the same room together for more than a decade. So that was unique. But, you know, this is something that, you know, whatever issues developed between members of the band, they didn't exist when we were making Stop Making Sense. Everyone was really proud of that show. And it was, I think we all felt that we were certainly amongst the most exciting and best bands in the world at that moment. And so, and the new version of the movie, which I oversaw the remix of it, put together a team of fantastic people like Eric Thorngren, who tragically just passed away, and Mike Minkler and David Hensey and various people. We worked on it for months to redo the entire mix. And then the scan, this 4K scan, just looks so much better than any of the other previous versions. It's been great. I mean, I would say that it gets easier and easier each time we are together. There was a certain trepidation, I think, in the beginning.
While Talking Heads played at Pine Knob during the summer, Stop Making Sense wasn't filmed until December of 1983 at the Pantages Theater in Los Angeles. Harrison says by that time, the group was well locked into the theatrically inventive and challenging show.
Well, I think that, you know, the band, we did it all year round. So by the time we did the film, we were really, really tight and very familiar with the show. And in the early days, there was a tension between playing the music right and the staging and the lighting being right. And I know that it kind of drove David a little crazy because he felt, I don't know, a responsibility to be paying attention to both. And I think there were moments in the earliest shows where he might have been a little distracted by making sure that the lighting was right and not concentrating on his own musical performance as well.
Harrison said that the theatricality also added nuances to the presentation that were not there when Talking Heads started out.
You know, it is a little bit strange to go from, like, if you look at all of the films of the early Talking Heads shows, the lights are on so that you could see everybody in the band all the time. And obviously, by the time we got to Stop Making Sense, there were times where, say, Bernie and I were largely in the dark. And that was, you almost could get lazy when that happened, right? Well, if nobody can see me, so we would almost sort of be up there just having a conversation with each other. you know, playing our parts and stuff like that, but you know, and then there would be the moments where you obviously would be, you know, the lights would be on you and the focus would be on you. But that was different than the early days where you felt like you were at every moment someone could be watching what you were doing. I also think that because we did that with all the lights on, that every member of the band was known to the audience and every member of the band almost to a degree had fans that had chosen them to be, let's say, their favorite member. I mean, Tina certainly in particular had a lot of people because it was so unique to have a woman member of the band who wasn't the singer.
The upgraded version of Talking Heads Stop Making Sense has been released on home video, as well as in theatrical screenings. That's it for this episode of Hello Pine Knob. Our thanks to Mark Tremonti of Creed, Sammy Hagar, Melissa Etheridge, and Jerry Harrison of Talking Heads for taking the time to chat with us. Hello Pine Knob is produced by Ryan Anderson and is available via Odyssey, the 313 Presents website and social media, or wherever you get your podcasts. Until our next episode, I'm Gary Graff. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you out on the line.